Good morning and welcome to All Saints and St Andrew's Contemporary Service. I'm Ali Mesley and our life group is going to be leading the service this morning. Dave will be preaching. We've been looking at the promises of God in our series this term, and we're on to thinking about the promise of healing at the moment. Peter, our curate, talked about healing of individuals last week. This week we're going to be thinking about the healing of our community, us as part of the community, but the broader community. We'd also like you to consider joining in with Thy Kingdom Come, which is a national initiative set out from the Archbishops. We'd really like you to look at the website and see how you can get involved with praying regularly as part of that, and thinking about five people that you would like to see come to know Jesus as their Lord. Would you like to join with us now for our first song, which is Come People of the Risen King?
Come people of the risen King, who delights to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to him, to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. As steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in.
Today's reading is from Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 12. Water from the temple. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. I noticed that water was flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The temple faced east. The water was flowing down from under the right side of the temple, from south of the altar. He led me out by way of the north gate and brought me around the outside of the outer gate that faces towards the east. I noticed that the water was trickling out from the south side. When the man went out towards the east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,750 feet and then led me through the water, which was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,750 feet and led me through the water, which was now knee deep. Once more, he measured 1,750 feet and led me through the water, which was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,750 feet, and it was a river I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I had returned, I noticed a vast number of trees on the banks of the river on both sides. He said to me, "These waters go out towards the eastern region and flow down into the Arabah. When they enter the Dead Sea, where the sea is stagnant, the water becomes fresh. Every living creature which swarms where the river flows will live. There will be many fish, for these waters flow there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river flows. Fishermen will stand beside it. From En-Gedi and En-Engalam, they will spread nets. They will catch many kinds of fish, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and its marshes will not become fresh. They will remain salty. On both sides of the river banks, every kind of tree will grow for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, for they will bear fruit every month, because their water source flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing."
Following on from our reading, we're going to think about the health and blessings that have been poured out on our community. These, of course, could be personal blessings that have been poured out on us, but they could also be blessings that have been poured out across Malvern and around the area. I'm particularly thinking of things, personal things, that we might like to reflect on, and we might like to write them down. So when I finish speaking, it may be worth going and getting a piece of paper and a pen and just writing down some of these things. They may be things about our farming community. We were conscious last year that the weather was not ideal for the farmers. Maybe this year it's been better, and we could really thank the Lord for that blessing. We also have two high schools and lots of primary schools in the area. We could give blessing and thanksgiving for those things. Your work, your home life, all of these things are little things, or maybe bigger things, that we can say thank you to God for. Perhaps you'd like to go and get that paper and pen now and write down some things that you can say thank you for as you sit beside that river that Ezekiel saw, and saw the power and the strength coming from that trickle of water by the altar. Perhaps we can bring all those things together now in a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you provide us with, for the blessings you shower down on us. Amen. Dave is now going to unpack the passage from Ezekiel that we heard earlier for us.
Can I add my welcome to you all? And as we've just heard, last week Peter spoke on God's promise of healing, and particularly focused on the healing of individuals. And this week it is part two of the promise of healing, as we look particularly at the healing of communities, the healing of society, the healing of the whole of creation. And we're looking at this special chapter in Ezekiel 47, a chapter which is actually special for us as a church, as it influenced our church logo, and more of that in a moment. But first, let us pray. Father, would you make your words come alive to us today? May you minister to us as we hear these words spoken, this promise of healing. And may you transform us, that we may become part of your healing story. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with a question. I want you to consider our town, our society in general, or even our world. I think, where do you see a need for healing and restoration? You know, there's so much we could say, isn't there? And I think it's really interesting that over this last year, you know, during the pandemic, we've seen certain issues rise to the surface in addition to the obvious ones of coronavirus. You know, we've seen that issue of racial injustice, haven't we, and the Black Lives Matter agenda thrust to the fore in the light of the George Floyd murder, which we'll actually remember the anniversary of next week. I think the pandemic has highlighted again, hasn't it, some injustice and poverty in our society. We think of the school meals campaign by Marcus Rashford. We now look at the current situation in India that's going on, and we look at the issue of access to vaccinations worldwide. We think of mental health and the continued mental health crisis that has been brought on recently. When you add in climate change, there's a picture there of just what's going on in the Middle East at the moment, in Israel. You know, we all agree that in our world and society, we've got a world and society which is in great need of healing and restoration. But the question is, what does God and the Bible say about this? What hope do we find in Scripture? Well, it's a huge topic, and we can only scratch the surface today. But I want to draw a few thoughts out of this passage here in Ezekiel 27 about God's promise of healing for the whole of his creation. If you've got a Bible handy, I'd really encourage you to turn to Ezekiel 47. Sort of two-thirds of the way through your Bible. And a bit of background on Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of the exile of God's people in Babylon. If we think of just where we were in January and February, we were looking at Ezra and Nehemiah. So Ezekiel just comes just a bit before them, while God's people are still in Babylon. And the first part of Ezekiel talks about God's judgments on Israel because of their sin, because of their idolatry and injustice. And that, because of that, the Lord's presence had left the temple. And for that, the people were sent into exile in Babylon, and ultimately Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. And what we see is just a picture of real hopelessness, and there seems in many ways only judgment and destruction. It's probably the lowest point outside the Holocaust, in the whole of the history of God's people. And it begs the question at this point in their history, is this the end for God's people? Has God's patience run out with them? But then the end of Ezekiel is about a vision of hope and transformation and new life. For God hasn't given up on his people and on his words. For in these chapters, God promises to give his people a new heart. Chapter 36, read all about it, to put his spirit in them and to bring them healing and restoration. And then in chapters 40 to 46, Ezekiel sees a vision of a new temple, and he witnesses the glory of the Lord returning to fill his temple. And then we come to this amazing vision and prophetic parable, as one person describes it, in chapter 47, of a powerful river flowing from the temple. It's a river of God's presence, of God's spirit, a river which brings life and blessing and healing and transformation to the land. Now, rivers are really important in the Bible. The Bible starts with a river right in Genesis chapter 2, a river which watered the Garden of Eden and gave it life and caused it to flourish in that perfect creation. But of course we read then that the perfect creation was marred by sin, which led to humans being banished from that perfect world, and the world became broken and full of suffering and pain and struggle. The pain and suffering that we all know too well in this current day. And that rest of the Bible is the story of how God, through Jesus, puts that right and brings restoration. And then, at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, go and read it later, the last chapter of the Bible, we see another river, the river of life, flowing from the throne of God in the new heaven and the new earth, that place where all of us who believe and put our trust in Jesus will spend all of eternity, where God lives with his people in perfect peace, in perfect relationship, where there's no longer, the chapter before says, any death or mourning or suffering or pain. For everything then is restored and healed once more. And this vision of Ezekiel, it is pointing us to that ultimate healing. It's pointing us to Revelation 22, of that promise to us at the end of time, that everything one day will be put right, when God's kingdom will come in all of its fullness, and where it declares that that day all evil and suffering and pain will be defeated and fully healed. But I think this prophetic vision is not just about eternal life and that final restoration. I think it's too a picture of how God brings healing and restoration and transformation now, while we still live in this broken world, while we still live in these in-between times between the first and the second comings of Jesus. So let's have a look at the description of this river and see what we notice. And first of all, we notice that the source of this river is the temple. This life-giving water comes from the temple, the very place where God's presence was. In verse 1 here, it says, Ezekiel says, I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple. And we're told, you know, in my translation at least, that it starts in verse 2 with a little trickle. A little trickle there in the desert from God himself. I love how Bishop Stephen Croft describes it, for he says it was a teardrop of grace flowing from the place of prayer and sacrifice. A teardrop of God's grace which brought life and healing. You know, actually, in reality, the second physical temple that they rebuilt in Jerusalem when the exiles returned wasn't as grand as the first. And the glory and the presence of the Lord never did return as it had in the first temple. And I want to suggest that actually this vision points to something even more significant, which happened a few hundred years later. Because then God's presence came to earth in a different form, didn't it? It resided not in a physical temple made of stone, but in a temple of a human body in the person of Jesus. And you know, Jesus, as he described to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, was a source of living water. And wherever he went, there was healing and restoration, as we saw last week, just in looking at those healings in Matthew chapter 8. And then, you know, on the cross, when the spear pierced Jesus' sides, we read that water and blood trickled out. A trickle of water, which released the biggest healing that the world needed. The healing from sin, which made it possible for us to be forgiven, and our relationship with God to be restored. A teardrop of God's grace to all humanity. You see, the source of healing is the presence of God. But what we also see, if you read on, is the supernatural growth of this river. You see, what started as a little trickle just supernaturally grows. First, until it is ankle deep. Then until it is knee deep. Then until it is waist deep, and then deep enough to swim in. You know, just think about it. Normally a stream, a little stream, if it didn't have any other tributaries feeding in, would simply get weaker and smaller until it dissipated and disappeared. But instead, this little trickle with nothing else feeding into it gets bigger and bigger and turns into a powerful, fast-flowing, deep river. The supernatural growth of the river. You know, it reminds me of one of Jesus' parables, the parable of the tiny mustard seeds. That tiny mustard seed which grows into a mighty tree, which Jesus uses to show how the kingdom of God, how God's power grows mightily from small things. And perhaps there's a challenge for us here, a challenge in this season to look for those tiny new trickles of God's presence that we might barely notice. Those tiny teardrops of God's grace that we see in our community that have recently appeared. You see, sometimes I think we can so often be focused on the big ministries, the big things, the impressive things that might look good on the outside, but that we might even have been doing for years, but that in reality are no longer bearing any fruits. And maybe this is a season that where God wants to redirect us and refocuses us on the new little trickles of his grace that are appearing, which he wants to grow into something more powerful. I wonder where you've seen a new little trickle of God's presence lately. Maybe it's a particular person you've been beginning to build a relationship who's been started to be open to the things of God's. Maybe it's a particular place where you've begun to see little bits of fruit and transformation, where you've sensed God's presence beginning to penetrate. Maybe it's a particular issue or even a new ministry that God's placing a passion on your heart, a burden inside you for. You know, maybe God is wanting to take these little trickles of his presence that we can currently barely see, that actually may not be anything very significant now, but maybe he's going to wanting to take them and grow them into something powerful that will bring life and transformation and healing beyond anything we could imagine. And then finally, we see the transforming and healing power of this river, don't we? You know, I think it's easy for us in our lush British countryside to miss the real significance of this transformation that this river brings. You know, we're used to seeing, aren't we, and particularly at the moment, trees and grass and flourishing plants all around us. But I want you just to imagine in your minds that the desert climate of the Middle East, where there's simply a dusty, arid, rocky wilderness, with little able to grow in those harsh conditions. You know, that's the environment in which this river flows. And as this river flows, we read in verse 7, the great number of trees and plants that grow up either side of the river. The river transforms that barren desert into a vibrant, flourishing landscape. And these trees, we're told in verse 12 and 13, they bear fruit not just once a year, but every month. The fruit would serve for food and their leaves for healing, it says. And then the river ultimately flows into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, that lowest place on earth and one of the most desolate places on earth. 1,400 feet below sea level. It's 10 times saltier than the sea, and as a consequence, fish and plants cannot live in it. But what happens as this powerful river reaches the Dead Sea is that it's transformed. In verses 8 and 9, it says the salty water there becomes fresh. You know, that's a miracle, isn't it? If you add a glass of fresh water to a glass of salty water, you just get salty water still, don't you? But here you're adding fresh water to salt water, and it's transforming the salt water into fresh. And then it says there'll be swarms of living creatures again, for where the river flows, everything will live. You see, what a picture of transformation, of healing, of blessing. The teardrop of God's grace brings life even to the place which was most dead. It's an amazing picture, which I think says that nothing is too dead for God to bring life and healing. Nowhere is so desolate and dead that God's life-giving waters cannot penetrate and revive. I wonder whether you look around at places, at issues in your community or in your own personal lives, where you're tempted to say things are so dead, so awful, so desolate and desperate that they're beyond God's healing transformation. Well, you know, Ezekiel's vision wants to shout that God's teardrop of grace can grow into a powerful healing river, which can penetrate even the darkest and deadliest, deadest of places. It wants to shout that nothing is beyond the transforming healing power of God. And so how do we respond? What does God call us to do? Well, I want to say, first of all, we're called to pray. You know, if it's God's presence that brings healing and transformation, then we need simply to pray for more of God's presence in our worlds. We're at the start of Thy Kingdom Come, 10 days of global prayer with millions around the world praying for more of God's transforming presence. And when we pray, Thy Kingdom Come, we're praying for the presence of God to come and transform our world, to transform injustice, to transform poverty, to heal brokenness, to restore relationships with people and with God. We're praying for more of heaven's values, of Jesus' values, to be seen here on earth as in heaven. We're praying for the river of God's presence to bring life and healing and flourishing and restoration. We're praying for the river of God's presence to revive even the darkest and deadest of places. I want to offer you an invitation. I want to invite you to ask God to give you one particular place or situation or issue to pray fervently for in this coming week and beyond. For you to pray daily and just with real conviction for the presence of God to transform that situation. For the presence of God, for the river of God to bring healing and restoration and transformation beyond anything you could hope for or imagine in that situation. And then we'd love to hear any stories of what God might do through those prayers. Will you pray for one situation? And then also, we're called not just to pray, but to act. You know, Peter last week said, we're called to be like Jesus, a community of action, changing the world around us. And you know, we can do this not primarily because we're clever, or because we're particularly skilled, or capable, or anything special, but primarily because we are people who carry the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? Jesus said in John 7:38, quite possibly referring to this passage, "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them." Friends, let's get this. You know, the Bible says we are God's temple here on earth. We carry God's presence inside of us, into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, into our families. And if we're open, and if we're willing, and if we just have a little tiny bit of faith, you know, God's living waters, God's teardrops of grace can flow out of us. And God can partner with us in bringing healing and restoration and transformation to our communities. You know, whenever we stand up for an injustice that we see in our workplaces, whenever we stop to listen to the young person struggling with their mental health, whenever we bless a neighbour who's desperate to make ends meet for her family, whenever we pray for healing and peace for a friend struggling with illness, whenever we donate to the food bank, whenever we share our faith and bring light and hope to someone who has lost hope, we're allowing God's teardrops of grace to flow out of us into this broken world. And what we do might to us seem just like a tiny, insignificant trickle. But the message of Ezekiel 47 is that trickles of the presence of God multiply into torrents of healing and blessing and transformation. And that God can do far more with our little trickles than we could ever hope for or imagine. Our St. Andrew's and All Saints logo shows both a path leading to the cross and a river of the presence of God flowing from it into our communities. And we believe that God has called us specifically to be a community who seek to be filled with the presence of God as we worship and encounter Jesus and as we're transformed by the cross of Christ, so that we might go out full of his Spirit and partner with him in the flourishing of our communities. And you know, the exciting thing is that God invites each and every one of us to step into his river and be part of this story. Will we step into that river? Will we take that invitation? Will we continue to take that invitation as I look round to many of you and see what God will do? As a way of responding, we're going to play a song now, which is a new song commissioned by the LICC, London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, especially for Thy Kingdom Come. It's a song called We Seek Your Kingdom Here, and you'll recognise the tune. And as you watch this, and watch the images particularly, I want you to invite you to ask God to give you a new passion to pray for his kingdom to come. I want you to ask God to lay on you that one particular place or situation that he wants you to pray fervently for his presence to bring healing and transformation. And as you watch, ask God to show you how he is calling you to be part of his healing story on your front lines, wherever that is.
Throughout every sphere, we failing to scribe your heart on history's page.
One of the mysteries of Ezekiel's vision is how the river gets deeper and deeper without there being any extra water flowing in from tributaries. Could it be that God's blessings multiply? Our life group has a story of how we've experienced that in recent times, and I thought I could share that with you today. We got to hear of a family whose garden fence had got badly damaged over the winter months, and they weren't in a position to do anything about it. Builders who had been invited to quote had come back with some astronomic costs which they were not able to afford. So our life group, when we heard about this, thought, well, actually, could we get involved? And if the family could sort out getting the fencing materials, then we could go as a work party and do something about putting it back together. So this is what we offered. It seemed like a natural and practical way to bless this family. What we didn't know was that the relationship with the neighbour on the other side of the fence, as quite often the way, had not been brilliant. Boundaries can be a sensitive subject, can't they? The first we knew of this, though, was after we'd offered to help. We had a text to say that they had approached the neighbour with the offer and that the neighbour had got very excited about this because obviously the costs were going to be much reduced. But she was really baffled that people would want to help for free. She couldn't understand it, and the family were able to explain that it was a church-related thing. And this bit, I'm just going to quote, you know, this fence falling down has helped us to get to know each other much better at last. It's been a real neighbourly blessing as we've chatted so much more. The blessing has multiplied to become something much more than anyone expected. Would you join me in praising God that a broken fence has led to a mended relationship?
Lord, we come before you now to pray that in the weeks and months to come, we will see your transforming power at work in the healing of our communities and the wider world. As we look around, we see so many situations that are blighted by the salt water mentioned in the passage in Ezekiel. We pray that you will lead each of us to areas where we can minister your love and your power to those in need.
As we see the picture of rural poverty in Africa, we cry to you for people across the world whose circumstances have been made even more difficult by the COVID pandemic. We also remember those living in poverty in our own community. We pray for the work of CAP. We pray for those locally who are living in poverty and struggling with debt because of changes in their financial circumstances, that they will get to hear about CAP and that they will have the courage to pick up the phone and make that initial call that will lead them to the help they need. We pray for all those working as befrienders, that they will build good relationships with their clients and that they will have the opportunities to share your transforming love with them. We also pray for the work of the Octagon as projects reopen and new ones start, and ask that you will give wisdom to those leading to know how to provide help and build effective and lasting relationships in that community. As we look at the picture of a lone tree, we remember those who are isolated, without a loving home, or because of particular special needs. We ask for your blessing on the Sky Autism Group and pray for those children and young people as they readjust to life as the world opens up again after the pandemic. We thank you for the work of Home for Good and pray for those in our community who have fostered or adopted children. As we see the picture of local farmland, we remember the farmers in our community and pray for the work of agricultural chaplains. We pray for wisdom as farmers adapt their plans following Brexit and ask that you will provide sufficient workers to enable them to harvest crops that we need to feed our communities. We also remember the work of the food bank and thank you for the blessing that it continues to be to those struggling to feed their families.
As we see the picture of the bluebells, we marvel at the wonder of your creation and your attention to detail. We acknowledge that just as you made each individual flower, so you know each one of us in this church and in our community individually. We pray for our own five friends, colleagues or relatives to come to know you as part of the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative starting this Thursday. As we draw to a close, we thank you for the miracle of the river in Ezekiel that turns the salt water fresh. We pray that we would see your transforming power at work throughout our communities. We thank you that you are the great healer, and we ask that you will heal our land and bring fruit in people's lives. Amen.
Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let's take a look at this picture. It looks like a waterfall, and the water looks really clean and fresh. There's a lot of movement, but the direction of flow is clear. If you look more closely, you can see lots of individual drops of water, and they're splashing around in all directions. The water is made up of millions of water droplets all joined together. They work together in harmony to make the river. When they all flow in the same direction, it makes a really strong current. So now, imagine yourself as a drop of water in the river. Allow the water around you to cleanse and refresh you. You're flowing with the river. Now think what you can do as the water continues to flow. As the river flows on over rocks and pebbles, can you be a part of taking the cleansing and the healing that you've received and passing it on? How can your water drop be a vital part in the refreshing work of the river?
As we come to the close of our service and prepare for the week ahead,
Please join with us as we share in the prayer of blessing. In the name of Jesus, we bless St. Andrew's and All Saints and all the other churches of our town, that we will encounter the transforming presence of God more deeply.
In the name of Jesus, we bless our young people, that they will grow and be filled to overflowing with your Spirit, and shine for you in their schools, with their friends and in their families.
In the name of Jesus, we bless our communities, that they will flourish with your life and values, and that lives will be transformed and people's hearts softened to receive the love of God.
Pour out your Spirit on us all, and teach us what it means to walk with you. Amen.